There are two forms of Elokus in the world. There are two forms of divinity in our world. There's the status quo, and that is where the divinity in our world is concealed. It's hidden in our world. We mentioned, Rabbeinu Bechai says that the world is called Olam from a lashon of Ne'alam, because the divinity of our world is hidden. The divinity, the Elokus, the godliness in our world, and again, these are concepts we've spoken about, so we'll run through them quickly, is constricted, it's dulled. It's not the full force of Elokus, because it's being revealed in our world. Right? We spoke about this as like similar to the concept of the Or Panimi. And this is also related to Golos. This is the Golos existence. That's the status quo right now, where the godliness is concealed. There is another reality in this world, and that is where the divinity, the Elokus, the godliness, actually defies nature, and it expresses itself in an overt fashion. For instance, if something miraculous happens, let's say splitting of a sea. So if that happens, random example. So if that happens, so that would be an example of the godly, the divine, being expressed in this world. Now, it causes a lot of issues because it's an overload in the system, because the system is not built for that. And it could cause all different types of issues when that happens. It can wreak havoc in the world because it's not supposed to be expressed in the world. But there are times in history where God revealed into this world, he took some of that Or Makif, he took some of that, the full brunt. It's like the energy, the power that needs to be dulled down through the adapter and the converter, whatever it is in your plug, in order so that it doesn't blow the appliance that you're plugging into the wall. If the full force of energy from the power plant went into your shaver, so it would, your shaver would explode because it's an overload of power. And that's what Hashem usually does. He usually saves a lot of the divinity, a lot of the godliness. He keeps it out of our world because it would overload our system. But there are times where it is expressed, not completely, because that would break the system, but in a slightly more way, in a slightly more overt fashion than it's normally expressed. Slightly more, you know, you can have appliances that look in the back of them, so they'll say that they have a range. You know, an American appliance, it can take from 110 to 120 volts. Normally it's 110, or here in Israel it's 220, but it could take 230 or 240, it won't break. If 240 volts come out of the wall instead of 220, your appliances are built to withstand it. But more than that, it'll break the system, 250, 260. We call appliances in Israel 220 because that's the average. They go somewhere between 210 and 230 generally. But if you get a little bit of an extra surge, that's why you have surge protectors. Surge protectors in case there's a little bit of extra jolt of energy. So if you get a 300, 400, that'll explode it. But if you get 250, 260, maybe it'll be able to handle it. And that's another form of God expressing himself in the world. Normally, the godliness in our world is expressed in a concealed fashion. It's hidden. God is hidden. But sometimes he reveals himself just a tad, not completely, but just a tad more. This is a state of geula. When that expression is more real, is more forthcoming, that is a geula experience. The Sfas-Emes says that these two realities are expressed in the pasuk, Mi kamocha bo'elim Hashem. What's the end of the line? Mi kamocha nedar bakodesh. What's the difference? So Chazal famously darshan, what's the lashon of be'elim? So Chazal learned it to be an expression of people who are unable to speak. They don't speak. An elim, a person who doesn't speak. Mi kamocha, who is like you? Elamim, amongst those who are elam, Hashem. We're praising God for being unable to speak. What does that mean? So we already used this imagery in past weeks. When you have a feeling and you try to express it, so the speech is constricted. Sometimes if somebody says something to you and it upsets you and you want to respond and you control yourself, you make yourself mute. So that's controlling, that's constricting, that's holding back. I want to punch him in the face, but I hold back and I constrain myself. I want to say something back to him, but I control myself. That pasuk, mi kamocha be'elim Hashem, is describing Hashem as the one who holds back his influence. He holds back his Kedusha. He doesn't overload the system with his Kedusha. He controls himself. And you know what it's sort of like? It's like, you know, like you're in the park and there are a bunch of kids playing and you could, like, you know, they're all trying to, like, do something. You could do it in a second, but you don't do it because, you know, you let the kids have fun. You let them do what they're doing. You know, I don't know, they're building something. You could build it in a second, but you control yourself. You don't want to come in and just, like, do it all. So Hashem controls himself, kaviyachol. Mi kamocha be'ilim Hashem. Sometimes he conceals himself. Umi kamocha nedar bakodesh means when God is nedar, He is glorified. There you go. Glorified Bekodesh. His Kedusha is just, you know, exploding out of him. And that's when Hashem reveals himself to the world. Mi kamocha ve'ilim Hashem, mi kamocha nedar Bekodesh reflects two giluyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One where he's a bit concealed and one where he reveals more of himself. These two hanhagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually have names. We refer to Hashem with different terms based on how he's interacting in our world. So the first name that we need to be become aware of is Elohim. What is the name of Hashem Elohim? That is the name that Hashem uses when he is concealing himself. Elohim is the name of Teva. When Hashem creates the world, so the name that's generally used is the name of Elohim. Elohim is the name of Hashem within nature, where you don't see him. He's hidden in nature. It's like a famous, I'm not like such a big, I don't quote gematria so often, but one of the most famous gematrias is that Elohim is the same gematria of Hateva, the nature. That God is nature. Elohim. Elohim, the name of Hashem being concealed by nature, that's Elohim. Now in this state, Hashem doesn't interact with the world directly. He works through channels. We call these sarim. We call them mazolos. Mazolos are officially constellations, but it doesn't mean that the stars are like shooting down beams into the world. It means that Hashem has a system through nature. So Hashem works within nature. Gravity is a force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and he uses gravity in order to do things that he needs done. Hashem works through nature. The imagery that's used for this is a parable of a king who's sitting in his palace. Or maybe for us nowadays, a CEO sitting in his office, the top floor of a building. So when he wants something to change, you know, he wants the price tag to change on a shirt that his company sells, he doesn't go down to the stores and change the price tags. He picks up a phone, he calls this person, that person calls that person. From his office, he's able to run everything, right? An army nowadays, a modern army. When the general of the Israeli army wants somebody on the ground in Gaza to do something, he doesn't run to Gaza and like get him and say, okay, now go here, go here. He picks up a call, he runs everything from his office. They run wars now from war rooms. They don't run them from the fields. They press buttons, they shoot missiles from, you know, from some office in Tel Aviv, underground. You know, they're not actually, you know, obviously there are people who are out in the fields. But this is the imagery of Hashem as Elohim. Hashem is up in his office somewhere, and he's running the world through his messengers, through his governors, through his officers. And those are the angels. Those are nature. All of these things are the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. The Satan, the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah also is a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wakes up every morning, he sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he goes out and does his job, and he comes back. We don't believe, like other religions, that Satan is this angel that fell from grace with God, and he's fighting against God, and they're always in this cosmic struggle with each other. We don't believe that. The Yetzirah, he wakes up every morning, he sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Satan wakes up, sings Shira, and he goes and does his job. Hashem is the king, he runs everything, he sits in his office. That is the that is the imagery of Hashem as Elohim. That's also the name of Kel Shakai, Chazal Darshan. What's the name of Kel Shakai? Sh'amar li olamo, die. What does that mean? It means Hashem is creator. It means that as he was creating the world, and he was figuring out how much of his influence to put in, at a certain point he said, enough, stop here. Kel Shakai, that's the name of Hashem, running the world, the master of Tzimtzum, the one who hides himself in the world. Now, man has an ability to perceive God in this world, in nature, by contemplating nature. The Rambam famously writes in Hilchos Historia Torah, Perek Beis, that a person should look into nature, and through looking into nature, can come to see God, because you can see God in nature, because he's there. He's just hidden. He's concealed. And that is our mission in general, the general mission of everybody, of all mankind, not just Jews, everybody, is supposed to look into the world and try to see God in the world. God, Elohim, Kel Shakai. There's actually a very interesting Gra discusses the Pasuk in Yeshaya. I'm not going to get too into it right now, but if you take a look at the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Sumarom Einechem Uru'u Mi Bara Eile. Raise your eyes up to heaven and look who created this. Hamotzi B'Mispar Tzvam L'chulam Shashem Yikra. Hashem, He created all these things. Look at the world. Look how amazing the world is. Look what Hashem created. So on the one hand, this Pasuk seems to be encouraging us to study the world. We'll see Hashem. But there's another Pasuk in Devarim. Upen Tisa Einecha Shamayma. You might raise your eyes up to heaven. V'isas Hashemesh. V'yasa Yareyach. V'esa Kochavim. There are other times you might look at creation and you might end up worshiping creation. Like those scientists who say, yeah, I believe in God. God is nature. There's a force. There's a force that of nature. That's God. There is no real God. He doesn't care what we do. There's something called nature. And if you want to call it God, you call it God. I'm going to call it nature. That's like a very common position among science, a lot of scientists nowadays. So there are times when you can look at nature and you can see God, and there are times when you can look at nature and you can deny God, and you can only see nature as a force. And you might even start worshipping it. Avodah Zarah, early Avodah Zarah, they worshipped the sun, the moon, because they saw it as, originally, as the Rambam says, originally they saw it as a representation, as a channel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eventually they forgot that it was an emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what's the Kosef HaShlishi? So should I look at nature or shouldn't I look at nature? The Pasuk in Yeshaya tells me I should. The Pasuk in Devarim tells me if I do it, I might end up worshipping it. So what should I do? So the Grub points out that if you look at the Pasuk, Su'umarom Einechem, Uru'u Mi Bara Eila, it's not just about looking up, but you have to ask the question. The Pasuk in Devarim just says, you look at Shemayim and you'll be drawn after it. What does the Pasuk in Yeshaya say? You look, but you have to ask the question. Mi Bara Eila. Who created this world? And in fact, The Eile means the stuff. Mi bara Eile. Who created all this stuff? You know who did it? Me and Eile. Take the letters of me and Eile. What word does it form? Elohim. Oh, but it's hidden in the Pasuk. I know, because that's what Elohim is. Elohim is hidden in the world. So hidden in the Pasuk of nature is mi bara Eile. You want to know who created this? So you look into the Pasuk. Look in and you'll see it's Elohim. And he said that was the problem, the Gros says, that was the problem of Chet HaEgel. This God came out and what did they say? Eile Elokecha Yisrael. They didn't ask the me. They just saw the Eile. So they never got to the perception of Elohim. They only saw the golden calf. They didn't realize that Moshe was just an emissary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were drawn after the image that they saw. They never saw the Elohim. So that's Hashem in his concealed state. Elohim. What's the name of Hashem when he reveals himself? This is the name that's going to be associated with the miraculous, the supernatural. And that's the name of Havaya. Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. That's the name of Hashem that represents Hashem acting in the world beyond nature. Breaking, as it were, nature. In this state, Hashem doesn't work from an office, sending out his emissaries that he created in order to interact with the world. But he gets off of his chair, Kaviyacho, and he comes into the world. HaMelech Basadeh. He comes into the world. And that's the image that they use of the king who doesn't run. He doesn't run things from his office, but he's the guy on the ground. You know, he's the guy who's on the court. No, the coach on the court. Not the owner sitting up in his box, like saying, like, you know, maybe get what's his name into the game. But the coach is down there and he's screaming over the side, you know, come on out, you know, whatever, he's on the field, you know, go home, right? He's on the obviously the Havdir. But you know, he's down there in the field. He's in the trenches with the soldiers. You know, he's the general who doesn't sit in an office, but he says, come guys, follow me. And he's actually in the world. That's the shame of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Obviously, you know, Lahavdil, you know, not to compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to any of these things, but I'm just, you know, just for us to have the image of not someone who's removed, but somebody who's involved in the world. In fact, that's why it's called the Shem HaEtzem. Not that it's really who Hashem is, but it's closer. So we call it the Shem HaEtzem. It's his real name, which means it's his, right? When you know somebody only a little bit, so you call him, whatever, Mr. Weinstein. But, you know, when you know him really well, so you call him Eliezer. If you know him really well, you call him Eli. Ellie, yeah, no? Yeah. Because, you know, that's the way that it shows the closeness. So too, Elohim is a title. It's God hidden in nature. But Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is Kaviyochel, Hashem's name. Now, obviously, it's not really his name either. I already told you, if we had the full energy coming to the world would explode. So, and again, all these terms are just borrowed terms that we're using to help try to understand it, you know. But that's the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In fact, what are you supposed to have kavanah for when you say the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei? Anyone know? What does Yud Kei Vav Kei mean? Ha Yehovah V'yeh. What does that mean, Ha Yehovah V'yeh? What does that mean? Past, present, future. What do you think it means? Beyond time. God, the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name that's outside of our world. Elohim is the name in the world. Yud Kei Vav Kei is outside of the world. That's why we call it is Ha Yehovah V'yeh, meaning it's the name that transcends time. So it's past, present, and future all at the same time. That's the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Doesn't just mean, oh, he was the God then, he'll be the God in the future. No, it's speaking about that name. That name is the name that transcends, that defies the reality. And that's actually why there's an Isser to mention the name. I'm calling it Havaya, Hey Vav Yud Hey, as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't pronounce it. Why don't we pronounce it? Because it doesn't really have expression in this world. You can't pronounce the name because the name is from beyond. It represents a part of Hashem that's not in this world. And that's why we don't even have a way to pronounce it in this world. Pasuk, famous Pasuk says, Zesh Shemi Leolam, V'zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. This is my name for eternity. V'zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. So Chazal Darshan in the Gemara in Sota, I believe, says, from this Pasuk, that the way that the name is written is not the same way that it's pronounced. That's the so that we just said, that it can't be expressed. Zesh Shemili Olam. This is like my name in eternity. In other words, this is my real name, the way you see it written. But Zesh Zichri, L'Dor Dor. But this is how you should mention it from generation to generation. Because you can't really define it. The reason I'm quoting that for you is because it'll hopefully give you a perspective on this beautiful line in Nishmas, fourth source in the sheet. What do we say? Nishmas kol chai tivarech eshimcha, Hashem Elokeinu. V'ruach kol basar tifor seromim zichricha malkeinu. The neshama, that's the part of me that's outside of this world, my neshama can be mevarech your shame, who you really are. Only my neshama. But my ruach of kol basar, referring to man as basar now, meaning physical me, can praise your zichricha, how you're mentioned, because you're my malkeinu. Meaning, I relate to Hashem as this person, this creator beyond existence. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, the whole this God of Yud Kei Vav Kei, this God that's beyond creation, that's your shame. I can't mention that. Only my neshama can relate to that. Nishmas kol chai tivorech eshimcha. But the ruach kol basar, the physical me, so I can be meshameach your zichricha, the way you're mentioned. We mention Hashem with the name of Adnos, Adonai, because that's the way that we relate to Him as our master, as our melech. And that's why we can use that term. And that's, I think, a very nice depth also from the Beis Medrash of the Gra of how you see these concepts being expressed in that line there of Nishmas. Okay, so now that we've defined clearly these two modes of expression, concealed and revealed, Elokim and Kel Shakai, as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei. So now I want to take you on a very fast tour through history, because there has been a historical struggle over these two names. Made a bracha before.
Erech Shash.
I know, that's why I said it. The world was created with an opportunity for the world to be run with either of these two expressions. Hashem created the world with the possibility that either He will interact with the world in the concealed fashion or through the revealed fashion. Either as Elohim or as Yud Kei Vav Kei. In fact, both of those names appear in the very beginning of creation. Because Hashem created the world with both opportunities. And those are represented. The first thing I'm going to tell you right now has a lot of like Kabbalistic sources that I obviously don't really understand so well. And I'm just going to tell you what they say. We're not going to get into it too much because I think the rest of the process will understand more. But the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that those two Giluyim, those two modes of operation in the world, the concealed and the revealed, are represented by the two trees. The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, was Hashem running the world in a concealed fashion, and the Eitz HaChaim was Hashem created running the world with a revealed fashion. Adam chose the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra. He chose to serve Hashem in a world where Hashem is concealed. Why did he do that? We're not going to get into right now. But obviously, Adam had a real serious cheshbon in mind. He didn't just like, oh, that looks like a nice apple. Sure, I'll take the apple. Oh, a snake told you about it? Yeah, sure, I'll have an apple. Obviously, it wasn't an apple. You know, the Christians chose an apple because it's red and it's the color of sin. That's why they chose it. It's not an apple. But the Adam made a decision that he wanted to serve Hashem in the concealed world, the world where Hashem's glory is concealed. He felt that that would bring mankind to a higher level if they succeeded. Now we know that it threw the world into a world of gullus, and we don't know what would have been if Adam would have chosen the Eitz HaChaim, and he would have chosen to serve Hashem in a world of revealed glory. But when Adam does that, so he plunges the whole world into a world of gullus, a world of choshech, a world where Hashem is hidden in the world, and this was why Adam was expelled from Gan Eden. Adam had to leave that Gan Eden experience, and he was plunged into a world of darkness and a world of concealment. That brought great confusion to the world, and the result were those tragic generations of the flood and the Tower of Babel. Well, actually, let's focus on the flood. It led to the world of the flood. Now, the generation of the flood, as you know, was a world that was very heavily involved, not in the spiritual, but in the physical. Even the animals were mating with other animals because there was just a complete breakdown of spirituality. Shem destroyed that world, and when he recreated the world, he made a bris with Noah. And the bris with Noah was a bris with Teva. The rainbow represented Hashem's promise that he would never destroy the physical world again. Even though, and it's because we're in a physical world, and we're drawn after the physical world, so our sins end up being worlds that strengthen the physicality of the world. And at a certain point, Hashem says, I can't bear this anymore. There's hidden Kedusha here. And I need to destroy this because you're ruining the world. And the deal with Noah that Hashem made was that no matter how badly you destroy my world, I'm not going to destroy it. I'm going to let it go. I'll let the evil wreak havoc in the world, because this is the path that man has chosen. Man has chosen to serve Hashem in a world where God is concealed. And if God, Kaviyachal, says, if I'm going to conceal myself, I'm going to need to bear the ramifications of that world. Now obviously, again, we don't mean that Hashem like misplayed it in the beginning and he didn't realize what was going to happen, and now that it happened, he reconsidered. Obviously, this is all like blasphemous to say this. I'm using these terms just that we can relate to it on some fashion. But Noah got a covenant with Hashem, symbolized by the rainbows, and Noah was He was entrusted with the mission to maintain the physical world. Mankind chose to serve Hashem in a physical world where God is concealed. Well, you have a responsibility to maintain it. And Hashem promised he wouldn't destroy it, and Noah promised that he and his progeny would maintain the physical world. And that's why the covenant that Hashem made with Noah was seven brisos, Gemara tells us. Seven brisos Hashem made with Noah. Why seven? Days of creation. Because Noah was entrusted to maintain the physical world. And this mission was given to the general population of the world. The general population of the world, the entire Gentile community, and all mankind that lives in the world today has this responsibility to maintain the physical world. The balance between the physical and whatever spirituality we can find in the world. And that's why the Bnei Noach were given Sheva Mitzvos. Because the seven Mitzvos are there to maintain the world that was created in 7 days. Seven is the number of Teva. Seven Brisos with Noach to maintain the world. How many colors are in the rainbow? Is it seven?
Yeah.
I believe it is, right?
Yes.
You'll Google it later.
I promise you seven?
Okay, so that also would obviously be reflective, if that's correct. So reflective of the rainbow being that which is going to maintain the order of the world. And that was the job, and that is the job of the Umos, the 70 Umos, which the Maharal says is also reflective of that number 7. It's just 7 on the plural, in the plural form, that given the mission to maintain this world. That is the job of the Umos Ha'olam, to maintain Teva. And that's why scientists, when scientists are making advances, that is a tremendous accomplishment, something that we as humans, and the Rav used to speak about this a lot, that we wear two different hats as Jews. We wear a hat as a member of the rest of society. And then we have a special hat that we wear as Jews. But we're also members of general culture, and advances of general culture are going towards the betterment and the maintaining of the physical world. And that's why the Goyim have to keep 7 mitzvos, because that is their mission. But out of this world that was seemingly set up to maintain nature, that's obviously why Goyim are also called Bnei Noach, because they are charged with the mission that Noach was given to maintain the physical world. So out of that world came Avram. And Avram, through contemplating that world and not willing to just maintain it, but he looked at Mi Bara Eile. He looked at the Elohim, and he searched out in the world. And we know the Medrash tells us that he studied the stars. He studied the world. And through that, through contemplating the universe, he began to get a perception of God in concealment. And because of his clarity, Hashem rewarded him by showing him the other state. The world, the concealed divinity, which was the mainstay for all of culture, Avram, whether it was for biological reasons, as some Sfarim and schools of thought will argue, or if it was because of his tremendous dedication to seeing God in the world, Hashem rewarded Avraham with allowing him to take a peek at the other realm, the other mode of interaction. Right? We've been speaking about the concealed world. Well, Avram was given a gift, that he was given the opportunity to see into the deeper realm, the realm where God's divinity is revealed. And the Pasuk tells us, by Bishop Ben Abisarim, it says, Vayatza oso hachutza. Hashem took him outside. And he said, you see all the stars? Your children will be as numerous as these stars. Now you have to remember, Avram, at this point, is not able to have children. By scientific measures, he and Sarai are not able, he and Sarah, are not able to have children. And Hashem says here, let me take you outside. What does that mean, let me take you outside? So, the Ramban here says, Lefi pshuto, hotzi yomeol. He took him out of his tent and he said, here, step outside for a second. Let me show you the stars. Your children will be as numerous as the stars. But then the Ramban says, but ulefi midrasho, there's a deeper level of interpretation here. Say me itztagnino shelcha. Shereisa bin ma'azolo she'en ha'osed lahamid ben. Leave your world of science. Leave the mazolos. Leave the way that Hashem interacts with the world when things are concealed. Step out of the scientific mode for a second. Because you think you can't have children biologically? That's only biologically. Where we're going, we're not kafuf to biology. And all of a sudden, he turns on the flex capacitor and he takes him to a reality that's outside. Doesn't mean step outside of your tent. It means step outside of the world that you were brought up in. Step outside of a world where things are concealed. Rabbeinu Bachai reveals a little bit more to us. Darshu Chazal, Yotzi Oso Achutza, Habit Na Hashamayma, Eina Ta Habit Ela Mamal Lamata, Milani Chegbiu Lamala Min Amazalos. He took him above the physical world. V'yomer Lo Ko Yezarecha. And he said, this existence, this reality that can go beyond nature, where God's glory is revealed, the Elokus is revealed, Ko Yezarecha. This will be your children's inheritance. Sefer Panim Yafos. Amru Chazal, Ein Mazel Yisrael. V'yomru Od, Gabi Avram, V'yotzi Oso Achutza. Pei Rishrachzi, Hotzio Mechalolo Shalolo, V'yigbiro Lamala Min HaKochavim. Hashem took Avram and he said, I'm taking you out of this concealed world, and I'm going to let you peer into the world where God's glory is revealed. Avram's fathering of a child at an age beyond at a time where biologically he and his wife are no longer able to have children, was representative of his new world, the new world order that Avram was allowed to exist in. The miraculous realm. The realm of the Nes. What the Maral calls the Olam HaNivdal. The world that's separate, that's elevated, that's unique. That's why he's visited by angels. He's visited by angels to reflect that he's now operating on a whole new level. They actually visit him under the tree. And Kabbalistic literature says that that was the Eitz HaChayim. That was that tree that Adam didn't choose. Well, Avram's now sitting in the shade of that tree. And that's why the angels visit him, Tachas HaEitz. Because Avram is now approaching a whole new perspective, a whole new world. For this reason, Avram at this time is given the mitzvah of Milah. Because Milah, as the Maral explains in Tiferes Yisrael, I put it on the source sheet, but for time I'm not going to read it inside, but you should read it. Let's read it very quickly. Some of the sources, some of the material I've been telling you, so you don't think I'm making it up. The Akum, the regular nations, they're the Olam HaTivi, and therefore they're the natural world, and therefore there's 70 of them. Ki Olam HaTeva Nivra B'Shiva Simei Bereshis. V'ha'uma Yechida Haisa Al HaTeva, but there's one nation that's above Teva. V'hi Keneged Hashmini, and they're Keneged the eighth level. Ki Hashmini Al HaTeva. V'lakach Ru'uya Yisrael HaTorah Shi'al Olam HaTeva. And skip to the last line, but the Akum, Lefima Alasam, Nosim Lem Zayin Mitzvah, Shem Sheva Mitzvah Spinei Noach. And then the Maral continues in Perek Beis of Tiferes Yisrael, that Hanhagas HaTeva was Nivra B'Shiva Simei Bereshis. You know, we'll get to that later. Let me tell it to you outside just for time. So the Maral says this is the reason why Avram at this time is given the mitzvah of Milah. Because the mitzvah of Milah takes the nature, the natural way that the body was created, and it fixes it. It makes a tikkun. And it's dafka on which day that we do Bris Milah? On the eighth day. Because it's something that connects us to a reality that goes beyond seven, that goes beyond nature. Seven represents nature. So then eight represents that step that goes beyond nature, the transcendence beyond nature. And Avram begins the process of revealing a world. And it starts with Bris Ben HaBesarim. And as you know, Bris Ben HaBesarim is a promise that's not going to be fulfilled until Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Avram is told, your children will go into Mitzrayim, but I'll take them out, and they'll come out of Mitzrayim, and they'll worship me on a har, and they'll get the Torah. This process begins with Avram, and it culminates with Matan Torah after Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what is this process? It's a process of revealing that concealed, that revealed world. That world of the Or HaMakif. That world of the Elokus as it defies nature. Hashem made a covenant with Avram that his children would be the ones entrusted with the mission to draw down that Elokus into the physical world. And through doing this, they will ultimately rectify the sin of Adam. You see, that's why this world is called in Hasidic literature the Olam HaTikun. It's a world of fixing. Because our mission is to fix the world. It's to bring that light, to reveal the concealment. To reveal the Kedusha that right now is concealed. And the Gentile world's job is to maintain that world. And to keep the world going. But Klai Yisrael were given a special mission. We're not denigrating them. They have a tremendously important role in this world. But Klai Yisrael was given a mission to bring down into this physical world the spirituality. And the children of Avram became the vehicle for introducing this light. That perhaps is why Hashem told Avram to look at the stars. Because the shining stars, shining in the dark night, represent those small points of light in the great darkness. It's not bright enough to light up the sky. The sky is still very dark. But they're those small points. Those small points. And if anyone knows anything about astronomy, took a course of astronomy. So in astronomy, one of the first things you learn is that every star is as bright as our sun. The sun is actually a star. It's just much, much closer than the stars. So the stars have tremendous brilliance of light to them. And if you would come closer to a star, they would be as bright as the sun. They could light up the whole, your whole perspective. But they're very, very far away. And that's a very, very important message. Because that's the idea of the concealed light. It's something that looks like a small little star. Remember the Rosh Hashiva once telling me that he said to me that in America you have this concept of stars. You know, like movie stars. He said, but it's the opposite of a star. The closer you get to them, the less brilliant is the light. The less you're impressed. You know, when you get into the kishkas of their life, you find out about them. From a distance, they look very beautiful. You know? And then you see them without their makeup on, and you see like what's going on in their private lives, and you realize like, wait a second, this is not as brilliant as I thought. And the Rosh Yeshiva said it's such a funny term. Stars are the opposite. Stars look from a distance, they look very small. When you get close to them, you realize how bright they are. And that perhaps was some of the imagery here to Avram. Avram was told, look at the stars. Realize that the Elokus that you see is very, very small. But there's really a lot more that stands behind that. The process didn't really begin to reach fruition until Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why when Moshe comes on the scene, Hashem tells him, very important pasuk, Vo'era el Avram, I appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Vo'era, I made myself appear to them. What's the first pasuk in Vo'era? Vo'era el Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, Ushimi Hashem, Lo Nodati Elohem. I revealed myself to them as Kel Shakai, hidden in nature, but I never really revealed myself completely as Yudke Vovke. And Hashem says to Moshe, that's going to be your mission. Avram was given a small perspective, but Moshe, for Moshe, that was going to be the operating force. Moshe was going to get to work with Yudke Vovke. And when he's initiated, what does he see? He sees a snail. He sees a lowly bush, and it's not being consumed, but it's surrounded by fire. What is that fire? Fire, I thought, this is my own suggestion, I didn't see this anywhere, so I can't tell you that it's for sure true, but I think it's a good idea, and I think it resonates with what we're saying. Fire, this I've said before, fire is one of those things that really defies nature, right? It burns up, it doesn't follow the regular gravity. It's one of those things, you know, I was talking with one or two guys the other night, like, you can't like touch it, you know, it's like what is it? Like it's there, but like your hand goes right through it. It's one of these things that we have, but there's something about it that's otherworldly. And I think everybody knows what I mean. Like, it's just something not so physical about it. Now I know you're saying, oh, but air, you could also do that, there are molecules in air. Okay, I'm not here to get into like all the science of it. But fire is definitely one of those things that I think that we relate to as being a little bit beyond. I always thought it was interesting that fire, like when the fire dances, you know, like as like the wick, like the flame, it's always like reaching up. It's almost like it's like everything else is pulled down to the physical world. And fire almost, if you look, you know, you're in a room, there's no lights on, and you see just the fire, it's almost like reaching heavenward, the fire. It's burning up. It's reaching for something greater, for something deeper. Something very interesting about it. It's also something that's very powerful. It actually, even Dover Shana Royal, right? Wadaf? Wadaf? Davrshin Aroyalo, fire? Yes. No? Yes. Yoni, what the?
Smichal.
Fire, what? Hail and Bays, right? Hail and Bays, Omen Olam.
Unfair reference, it references right? Something later.
So, Davrshin Aroyalo, the fire. The fire is able to just consume things. It's so powerful, it just destroys everything. It's able to negate everything. It's almost like that surge of Elokus that's able to overpower things. It's also interesting, when did we get fire? When did fire first appear in creation? Motzei Shabbos. What day is that? That's day 8. Shabbos is over. 7's over. Fire gets introduced to the world on day 8, which I thought is very interesting. And it resonates with this idea of fire being something. And perhaps that was the imagery to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the fire. He was shown that he could do something. And he could take Bnei Yisrael out. Take them out of where? Take them out of Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is Miloshon Meitzar. It's a boundary. It's a fence. Mitzrayim represented the concealment of God to the degree that when you came into Mitzrayim, you couldn't get out. It locked people in. It's like the bush, the rose bush where the spikes are pointed inward. So you could put your hand in because you like rub along the spike. But then when you pull out, it gets stuck. You know, it's like those, like, going out the wrong way in the parking lots where, like, the spikes, you know, you can go one way. But if you try to go back over them, they'll pop your tire. That's what Mitzrayim is. Mitzrayim is called Mitzrayim, Miloshen Meitzar. It's a concealment. It's something that traps things. And Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to take B'nai Yisrael out of the Meitzar. We're not talking about the land of Egypt. I mean, physically we are. But what's the spiritual thing that's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who was shown the fire, given the mission, told that you're not going to deal with Kel Shaka, you're going to deal with Shem Hashem. You're going to be the one who's going to take this nation, create a new nation, and bring them out of the boundaries of Mitzrayim. And that's why Mitzrayim was known for its znus, and Mitzrayim is known for its physicality, because Mitzrayim is the epitome of the physical world. And Klal Yisrael needed to be taken out of that existence. And that was Moshe's mission. Moshe's mission was to take us out. This was the promise that he got when he saw that fire. Eki Asher Eki. Just like I am Hashem now in this Geula, and I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm also going to stay with you in the future. That's how some of the Sfarim learned. Eki Asher Eki means, I'm here for you on this mission, but this is not a one-time coming out of Mitzrayim. Eki Asher Eki, I'm going to continue to be Eki. I'm going to relate to you on a deeper level. I'm going to put into Klal Yisrael forever that they have this ability. So the exodus from Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was a breaking of the natural order and a giluy of Hashem in a way that broke all of the boundaries. And it led us to Kriyas Yamsuf. And Kriyas Yamsuf, they had Nevuah, and they saw things that even Yechezkel, the Navi, a maidservant, Alayam, saw even what Yechezkel couldn't see. And Yechezkel, remember, saw Maisa Merkava. Yechezkel wasn't some, you know, second-rate prophet. Yechezkel saw Maisa Merkava. And it all culminated in Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah, Torah, this we'll have to talk about some other week, Torah are the keys to that upper reality. Torah gave Klal Yisrael the keys to be able to unlock that other reality. It was shown to Avram. It became the way that Moshe interacted with the world. It became Moshe's mainstay. Moshe took B'nai Yisrael out in order to get them out of a world of concealment, but to bring them to Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, Pascha Zuama, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. The Zuama. What's the Zuama? Who else? What other event is associated with Zuama? It's what was given over when the sin was done by Adam. A Zuama. The snake infused Zuama. And that Zuama, that being trapped in a world of concealment, that was removed from Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. And they were given Torah. Torah is the tool that we use to connect to that upper light, to connect to that other world. We're told the Torah was created before the world. What does that mean, before the world? It means it's outside of time. It means it comes from a higher reality. And that's what Torah is. Famous parak in Tehillim that we say every Shabbos. Quoted to you here from Tehillim. Is it Yutes or is it Chavtes? Yes, Yutes. Lamateach Mizmor LeDavid. Hashemayim Misaprim Kvokel. Umaisa Yagav Magad Arakia. What's that pasuk talking about? What's that pasuk talking about? Teva. Hashemayim Misaprim Kvokel. Masa Yagav Magad Arakia. Teva speaks of God. What do you mean Teva speaks of God? God's concealed in nature. Look for him. Yom yom yabia omer, laila laila yichava das, ain omer, belinish makolam, b'chol aratz yatzakavam, v'ashemesh som ba'olbam. All these psukim are all talking about nature and Hashem in nature. V'hu kechasan yotze mechupaso, mikzei Hashemayim motzo'o, uskufasam al ktzosam. And then, when we get to the eighth pasuk, what are we told? Toras Hashem temima meshivas nofesh. Seven psukim about nature, but then the eighth pasuk is the pasuk of Torah. The pasuk that takes us beyond nature. Tehillim, Kuf Yotes is the famous long parak that every pasuk talks about Torah. Famous parak. You know many, many of the psukim from Tehillim, Kuf Yotes. They're all very, very famous psukim. It's a very, very long parak. Yotes and Kuf Yotes, okay? Kuf Yotes. Ashrei Temimei Derech. Okay? Chatzos Laila Okom Lehodos Lecha Tuv tam vadas lamedeni, kin mitzvosecha amanti. A lot of psukim here that you guys would be familiar with. Ma hafti torasecha, kol yomi sichasi, mikol melamda iskalti, ner l'ragli dvarecha. These are all, li'olam Hashem dvarecha yitzav v'shamayim. All the psukim in this parak talk about Torah. And how is the parak structured? 8 psukim of the letter Aleph that start with the letter Aleph, then 8 psukim that start with the letter Beis, 8 psukim that start with the letter Gimel, all because of this idea that Torah is beyond. And of course, I mentioned it the other day, the Omer, when we count up to Matan Torah, 7 times 7 brings us to 49. And what's the 50th day? The day that takes us beyond 7 times 7, maxing out nature, that's Matan Torah. That's the 50th level. So now, what can we take from all of this? That was the process. We're running out of time. But that was the process. That was what we went through. That was the historical process from Bris Ben Abisarim until Matan Torah. But let's try to bring it home for just 5 more minutes. Let's try to recognize what we can do. We can recognize that we live in a confined existence. That's the first thing that we can do. The Sfas Emes, there's some beautiful quotes here from the Sfas Emes. They're just a line or two, so I'll read them to you. Ikra golus hu shan neshama nasar baguf. The body, the neshama is trapped. Hotzia mimazger nafshi. Bring my nefesh out of the confines of my body. Kol do di do fake. The voice is crying out. Is the koach haneshama shebenafshos b'nei Yisrael. Your soul, each one of you, is crying out. It wants to be freed from the confines of the body. And this is misorer ha'adam liftoach b'chuda shel machat. To open up even the smallest eye of a needle. Begufo shetucha haneshama leheir ba'adam. Open up a small little hole. Let some of that light of the neshama shine onto your body. And this is why we're here. We started out confined. We started out with a Meitzar, just like on a national level. We started in Mitzrayim, but we came out of Mitzrayim. It's something that we need to do as well. The Sefer Tanya says, how do you unite the hidden you, the deeper you, and the physical you? Yichud zehu al-yidei hamshachas or ein sof, Baruch Hu. It's by bringing some of the infinite light, that deeper light, lemata. Bring it down. How? Al-yidei esek ha-torah v'hanitzvos. Every time you sit down to learn, every time you go to do a mitzvah, realize that if the act is done with kavana, you're pulling mitzchias into this world. You're pulling or into the world. You're pulling elokus into the world. Vizeo perish. This is why some people say, Elashem yichud kid shabrichu v'shchinte. What does that mean? I want to be miyached Hashem and his shchina. Shchina, we said, is how Hashem is manifest in our world. How it resides. It's shochein. Shchina. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is obviously Hashem in the upper world. And when we do mitzvos, we want to be miyached Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina, and the Shechinte. Now, there's a big pulmos about whether you should say that, whether you shouldn't say it, a famous note of Yehuda, whatever, that's not our point right now. But I want you to understand the concept. Everybody agrees to the concept of uniting heaven and earth. And the Sfas Emes says that if we do this, we actually get to a higher level. Says the Sfas Emes, Mashem Masig Odom Be'emtzos Avodah Shelo, that which a person accomplishes through his work, Yeshlo Bezed Vekus Yoter Me'asaga Shebab Chesed Elyon Bilvad. What you get from working hard is actually ends up being a greater accomplishment than what Hashem gives you. Avraham Avinu was given a gift, he was given a perspective, but that wasn't enough. We had to go down into Mitzrayim and work hard and emerge from Mitzrayim, because when we emerged, the kinyan was much deeper. And ultimately, that's probably why Adam chose that path. The path to try to serve Hashem within the concealed world. Because when a person struggles, and we can all relate to this on a personal level, when we struggle, when we have hardships, right, we're about to go Ben Azmanim. Ben Azmanim is a great time, as I told some of the guys, for tremendous aliyos and growth. But there are also hardships. But when you struggle with hardships, it allows you to emerge much greater. This is our mission. This is our Avodas Hashem. This is why we give a milah to our children, to initiate the child and to give him the challenge, to say you started with an arla, but we removed it in order to start you on a process of tikkun, a process of fixing, a process of connecting to that 8th level. And this all came from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Sfas Emes, Ikra Geula is in the soul, that you're miskasher beguf, that you want to separate yourself from physicality. There are things in the world that pull us towards gashmias, things that we talk about, things that we look at, things that we see, things that we experience. And those are things that are pulling us towards the body. And there are things that bring us closer to the light. Ubiyitzias Mitzrayim nitan zeakoach lebnei Yisrael. When we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we were given the ability sheyuchlu lihipareid me'agashmius, that we can do it. Skip to the last line. And that's why lochein tzrichim b'chol yom liskor yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have to always remember yitzias Mitzrayim. Because b'koach zeh yucholin lahalos hanefesh. It's dafka through this koach that we can elevate ourselves. And I will end telling you over a very beautiful idea from Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says that we call it Yitzias Mitzrayim and not Yitzia Mi Mitzrayim. Because it wasn't a one-time event, the Yitzia from Egypt. But it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right now, we are having a process of Yitzias. We are always leaving Egypt. We are always trying to shed some of the concealment and to bring a little bit more light into our lives. So as we celebrate Pesach, and we celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim, we should all have a Siyata D'Shemaya, we should all have divine assistance, that Hashem should help all of us, that we should, even in the smallest level, be able to reveal some of that deeper light, some of that Elokus that resides within us, and through that elevate ourselves, and connect more to who we really are. I wish you a good Ben Azmanim, a good Yontif.